Well, this morning we're going to spend all of the message time talking about eagles. Lucky for you. In fact, this week we're going to have all the adults go back and the kids are going to... No, I didn't figure that'd go over.
What?
Nothing. But stay with me. Hopefully you guys won't get bored this week by the sermon. Hopefully your folks don't either. Well, here's the question for you. You know, when you see these images up ahead, when you look at them, when you get a visual in your head about eagles, what's some ideas, what's some words that come to mind? Do you have any guesses, any clues? You can just shout them out. Anybody? Patriotism? Any other ones? Kids? They've already found the children's bulletins. They've lost me.
Fishing?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is bald, but that's not where we're going either.
Different types of eagles,
okay. Any guess from the back there?
Freedom,
that's a good one. Man, these make next time I preach, I know what to preach on. Well, got a couple words I'd like to throw out at you this morning. How about strong? Strong. Does that come to mind? The idea of strong? Okay. And how about, what's something that an eagle does, that you see an eagle doing?
Flying?
That's a good one. She's heard this before. So she was at rehearsal, so she's a little ahead of everybody. Okay. Well, how would you like to be strong and fly like an eagle? Tying the two together. This morning, I'd like to talk about how being strong, flying like an eagle, in regards to what our text is saying, is really what following God is all about. It's really what following God's all about. Turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at Isaiah 40, 31, and yes, we do have it on the overhead. Good job on the pictures, too. Those were excellent. Isaiah 40, 31. Let's read that together. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So first part of the verse, let's back up. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Strong. That's actually the first idea we get from our text about these big birds, is that they're strong. They're strong. Got some facts here from you. I went out, I spent about 3 days reading about eagles this week. I got myself into this little corner because I decided to preach on this. So now you guys get to hear a bunch of statistics about eagles. Hope you enjoy. Did you know that eagles are larger than any other birds of prey, except vultures? Interesting. This is one I thought was interesting. The vision of an eagle is sharper than most. People see three basic colors. Eagles see five. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. Eagles can carry prey up to several pounds in weight. The reason they're able to do this is eagles have incredible leg muscles. They've got these leg muscles. When the leg muscles contract, it clamps the tendons in their legs and it closes those talons together in a grip. But it's not really the strength so much in those talons as it is in the leg muscles. Again, I didn't know all that stuff either, but that's what the internet's for. So when the Bible says those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, where do you think these massive birds get their strength from? The Lord. Where do you think we as people need to get our strength from? The Lord. Our Bible tells us how. Our scripture tells us how today. It says, wait for him. Wait for him. We're going to talk about what that means. How do we do that? I think back to when we're little. Think back to when we're children, when we're hungry. Where do we get our food from? Or if we're sleepy, where do we get our place to sleep? The people that we live with, right? The ones that are entrusted to take care of us, our parents, our guardians. We wait for them. The text gives this idea of we know we are theirs. We are entrusted to them. We give ourselves over to them because we know that we must depend on them. We must depend on them to feed us and clothe us and take care of us. We can't do it ourselves. That's the impression we get from our text. Ultimately, though, it's God that takes care of us. So if we wait for the Lord, if we wait for him, if we put our confidence and our trust in him, and we give ourselves to him, we can trust that he will take care of us. We can't do it ourselves. And this doesn't just go for the little ones. This goes for the adults too. Trouble with us, though, is sometimes we think that we don't need to wait on him or for him. You know, sometimes when we're little, we don't want to honor our parents or our guardians. No, that never happens. We think we know better. There's a giant snow pile out, and they tell us not to climb to the top of it and jump off because we might, you know, land and break our face or something. But we do it anyway because we want to. And we get hurt, and we break our face. But when the Lord tells us to do something, what about then? When the Lord gives us a set of directions called the Bible and we don't follow the Bible tells us not to lie or cheat or steal or put other things before God, and we do it anyway, we get hurt. We wonder why. We wonder why we get hurt. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So waiting on the Lord, waiting for the Lord includes trusting that God knows what's best for our lives in all of our decisions. I know sometimes waiting is hard. It's hard to wait on the Lord, isn't it? That's not easy. Now think back to when we're little. Older people will tell us to do things. We don't want to do what they say. You know, again, I'm thinking about the little one riding the bike outside with flip-flops on and no t-shirt at 2:30 in the morning down a pile of snow in a blizzard of 14 feet. That seems like a good idea to us. But it isn't. Sometimes just doing what we want, no matter the amount of lying or cheating or stealing, seems like a good idea to us, doesn't it? Proverbs 14:12. Our Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man. That verse ends by saying, but its end is the way to death. We can't follow our own way. We can't go our own way. Not even in these little decisions in life, because we don't know what's best for us. We don't. We can't depend on ourselves. Think back to that eagle. What God creates is strong strength coming from the Creator and not from the creation. All the way down to that leg muscle on an eagle. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. God is concerned about those little things, like that leg muscle on that eagle. Can we remember as well to wait on him as the source and renewal of our strength? But you may ask, how does this work? How does this renewal of our strength work? I love the picture our verse gives us, flying, that second word for the day. Our verse continues, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. More trivia for you this morning. Eagles have a wingspan of 6 to 7 feet. If I'm talking to Gerald, I'd probably say 19 or 20. No. 6 to 7 feet. And one of the largest on record is of a bird with a wingspan of 7.9, nearly 8 feet wide. That's taller than Tony Russell. 8 feet. That's incredible. How'd you like to have 8 feet wide wings? I'm pretty sure your parents are glad you don't. Eagles are able to mount up with wings. This puts them past the surface of the land and the water, 15,000 feet in the air. That's incredible. 15,000 feet in the air. At long distances, they average 20 to 30 miles an hour. In regular flight, would you believe that an eagle can fly up to 65 miles an hour on average? That's incredible. And it doesn't take too long for this to start happening in the life of an eagle. They start learning to fly at about 10 to 12 weeks old when they leave their nest. They're made to soar. The eagle is made to soar. It makes a lot of sense why eagles mount up with wings the way they do. Again, these birds of prey, also known as raptors, they're targeting their lunch from way up in the sky. But how do they fly so high? How do they get up there? Do you think they're flapping those big, heavy 6-foot wings so they can stay vertical? No, they're not. They're not doing that. If they spent all their time flapping those big, heavy wings, they'd hit the ground. They'd use all their energy up, they'd hit the ground. Eagles are carried by wind thermals. Some of you may know this. They're gusts of wind. They come up from the atmosphere. If you're sitting there wondering why I'm going into a science lesson in the middle of a worship service, let me explain why this is important in understanding our text. Our text, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. The idea of those that are waiting, depending on the Lord. We have our faith in the Lord. We've given ourselves to the Lord. We consider Him and only Him as our source of strength. One analogy from a commentator I found, which I like an awful lot, goes like this. I'm paraphrasing here. The wings of the eagles represent our faith in belief in God. Okay? Belief in God. We've mounted up with wings. We're taking off into the air because we are relying on Him. And then when we take off, we're carried by a giant wind thermal, which is the Spirit of God. Which is God Himself. We have absolutely no way of getting where we're going without God getting us there. You know how He does it? By His Holy Spirit. The same Hebrew word for spirit, by the way, is pneuma, or breath, or wind. Coincidence? The only part we have in the process is that we must make the decision to take what we might very appropriately call a leap of faith. Remember, an eagle can't get thousands of feet into the air above its surroundings so that it has a heavenly view on the landscape without depending on the wind to carry it. We can't rise above our surroundings so that we have heaven's view on our world unless we say, Lord, I'm yours. I desire to rise above what's around me. I'm putting my faith in you, and I'm trusting that your Holy Spirit will carry me. There's a lot to this flying thing, isn't it? Writer Douglas Adams once joked that flying is learning how to throw yourself at the ground and miss. We might adjust that to flying is learning how to throw yourself at the Lord so that He can carry you. We might compare this with Zechariah 4:6, in which our scripture says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. We can flap our wings all we want, can't we? But if we want to learn how to mount up with wings like eagles, we have to remember how those great big birds are able to stay up in the air. Our faith helps us mount up, but ultimately we must mount up on something. The Lord Himself will be the one to carry us. We are made strong to fly like an eagle by the strength and by the Spirit of God. We were made to soar. And we can look at the rest of our scripture this morning as a couple of indicators that we're not hanging by some thread. We're not hanging by some thread when we're letting the Lord carry us. You know what we're hanging on? The very Word of God. For those who are waiting for the Lord, our text concludes by saying, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I wonder why it says that. I wonder what it's talking about. Because, you know, I can go outside this building and I can run around the parking lot in circles 15 times. There are weeks I'm prepping sermons and that happens. I guarantee you, I'll get tired. My side will start hurting probably after the second lap too. And I can walk from here down to the bank on the other side of town and back twice. And if I haven't already fainted, I probably will when I get back. But what this verse says is absolutely true in what it says. Because when I go outside and I run around this parking lot or I walk down to the bank and back, I'm relying on my own physical energy, on my own strength, and I don't have a lot. I'm a little out of shape. Rounds of shape, right? When we run and walk in the Lord, when we run and walk upon the Lord and His word, then we're on His terms, in His strength, by His sustaining us. And it's important that we make this distinction, isn't it? Because there's a whole lot of walking around, a whole lot of running around, a whole lot of things we can spend our time doing, even good things, Christian things. But if we're not doing them in the Lord, if we're not doing them because God says so, we're not doing them for the right reasons. Honoring our parents, honoring what our parents and our guardians tell us, we must do because God says to honor it. God's the standard. God is who we are trying to please. If we follow God's commands for the sake of honoring God, we will not be weary. We will not grow faint. So I guess if there's a piece of advice I have for the little ones today, it's listen to your parents. Especially a couple of them down there. Listen to your guardians. Why? Not because I'm up here ranting. Because God says so. God says so. Exodus 20:12, Ephesians 6, 1-3, just for an example. But as we wrap up our study this morning on Isaiah 40, 31, I think it's important for us to keep in mind, and maybe this will help some of the adults out there. God is there. God is present. He's present through both the mountaintop experiences we may have, and He's present when we're going through the valleys. And it's regardless of how we feel at the time. This is important. The Spirit may have us flying high at times, but we must remember that, as one commentator puts it, we come down and we run and we walk here on earth after these eagle flights. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. I think back to a spiritual renewal I had in my 20s. I felt like I was really getting on track with what Jesus wanted me to do. I felt like I was on cloud nine. It was a mountaintop experience. I was soaring. When an eagle soars in the sky, it soars with the wind to carry it. When we mount up like eagles to soar, we soar with the Lord. But at some point, we land. Here's a more recent example for some of you. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience with God in worship? Maybe in this building on Sunday morning. But then you leave this place and you get back home and you think, now what? Has it ever happened to you? Have you been there? It can be kind of a letdown. It almost feels like kind of a drag. You know, church is over. It's okay. It's okay. Those experiences are good. Let's not be so terrified of being labeled charismatics or holy rollers that we refuse to acknowledge there are times that we may be overwhelmed by the presence of the Spirit. It's scriptural. King David, in 2 Samuel 6:14, the Ark of the Covenant was brought up to Jerusalem for one example. Today, just a reminder, the Spirit comes to us just one time at our baptism. But I guarantee you, there are times in our walk that He'll remind us that He's still there. But you know, when corporal worship is over, what do we do now? What do we do now, we may ask? What do we do now? We reach out to others. We show them our source of strength. We show them who puts us and keeps us in flight. We go into the restaurants and the schools and the banks and the stores and the salons and the grocery stores and the hardware stores with a message that Jesus and only Jesus can carry us from here to eternity, like the wind carries the eagles. We can run without growing weary, without becoming faint, because we remember that we wait on the strength of the Lord. You know, we're not always going to feel His presence, but we are promised that He is there in John 14, verses 16-17. He is there. So this morning, now that you know all about eagles, I've told you everything there is to know. How'd you like to be strong? How'd you like to fly like one? Isaiah 40, 31. We hang onto the Lord and he will lift you up with a promise for ground level. It's a beautiful illustration. I have a picture of an eagle, and if you have access to the Facebook page, I actually took a picture of it and put it up on there. So if you haven't gotten on, maybe you can look at it. But I took a picture of the very picture that I'm talking about. I have a picture of an eagle with Isaiah 40, 31, and it's mounted up on the wall, actually, of the Parsonage study area. The picture once belonged to my dad. It was hanging in his study area. Now I've got it hanging in mine. You know, and I think it's a reminder for me. It's a reminder, you know, do I get weary at times? You bet I do. Do I grow faint? Yes, it's called I need 3 or 4 Coca-Colas. I grow faint. I had someone ask me about a week ago, you know, I don't know how you do what you do. How can you be in full-time ministry and not be full-time exhausted? Well, you can't. I wait for the Lord. You wait for the Lord. See, I'm just full of hot air. I'm just full of hot air myself. You know that already. He is the wind to carry. He is the wind to carry me. So that eagle picture, when I walk by and I see it that has Isaiah 40, 31 on it, it reminds me every day that only God can be my strength. Only he can be your strength too. To quote a certain pop song from a few decades ago, only he can be the wind beneath your wings. Remember that one? How would you like to be strong and fly like an eagle? It's what following God is all about. You were made to soar. Would you pray with me? Lord, you love us so much. We can't begin to thank you for the deepness of your love for us. Lord, it's a love that goes beyond anything we can comprehend. It's a love we can only imitate, and we fail at that. Lord, we strive to know you better. We strive to serve you better. And Lord, we know from your word that we must surrender to you. We know from your word that only by your Spirit can we be carried. You've promised at our baptism that you give us your Spirit. Your Spirit carries us from here to eternity, that we mount up like eagles. Lord, your word has given us this beautiful illustration to remind us, Lord, that we are nothing without you. But with you, we can do all things that you lead us to do. Lord, we praise your name and we thank you for allowing us to share in your plan of redemption. You love us enough that you save us and you direct us out to the world as well. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray that you convict our hearts more, that whatever we're trying to do in our own strength, that we give that up, we bring it to you, we let you have it all, and we let you carry it all, so that we don't grow faint and we don't get weary. Lord, I pray that you move our hearts to give up just a little bit more of who we are. Every day. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to go into our time of invitation and sing hymn 375, Jesus Calls Us. He calls us. He calls us to soar, every one of us, to mount up like eagles. And this morning, if Jesus is calling you, we invite you to come forward. We're going to stand and sing, Jesus Calls Us.